Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to Wealth Done Differently Retirement with Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner. Today, Danielle has a special guest, and that is Carolyn Buckloose. Carolyn is a gifted organizational strategist and leadership coach who has spent her career building highly effective businesses and teams. She has been a leader concurrently in both the private and public nonprofit sectors for the last five decades. She is also one of America's most respected and accomplished voices on women's leadership and their relationship with power. She is using her proprietary decade game to coach some of the world's leading women to live their purpose and discover their destiny. Carolyn has written for respected national outlets, including Inc., The Huffington Post, and has co-authored numerous articles in the Harvard Business Review, which have just been republished in HBR's must-read series on women's leadership and diversity in inclusion. She was appointed by Mayor Bloomberg as a commissioner of the New York City Commission on Women's Issues and is regarded as a thought leader and sought-after speaker in the area of women's empowerment, inclusive cultures, and both individual and institutional transformation. In 2012, Carolyn was named the Woman of the Year by the Healthcare Women's Business Association, and she matriculated from the global consultancy of Ernst & Young, where she was the worldwide leader for their $1 billion life sciences sector. Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Eric, and welcome to the show, Carolyn. So happy to have you here.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks.
Well, I will tell you what, Danielle, that was an incredible bio that you sent me for Carolyn. Carolyn, thank you so much for being here. I'm just, my jaw is dropping at the amount of accomplishment that you have had over your lifetime of work. And I have a quick question for Danielle as we get started. Danielle, how did you guys meet? This is Carolyn seems amazing, and I'd love to hear that story.
Well, I am very fortunate to bring amazing women into my life as mentors, as cohorts in this quote unquote game that we get to play called life. And Carolyn and I met through, I participated in the decade game about, I don't know, 2-3 months ago. It was mind-blowing, to say the least. I got to participate in a Denver version of it, and it was new territory for many of the ladies. But for me, it put a dimension on my perspective of what I was already doing and moved it, added a lot more of the element of fun and play to it. So for me, who tends to be very serious about life and goal-oriented, to put a perspective that adds that element of play and how I still want to, you know, I'm taking a stand, but to take a look at how that plays out over the next 10 years has been very, very rich and rewarding for me.
Well, it was great to actually have you in the workshop, and I'm really delighted to have a chance to speak to your listeners, the people who have really followed you, because you have brought so much wisdom to them around how do you actually create value with your resources. So lovely to be here.
I want to reach out to our audience and thank you for listening. And I know you are going to glean some insight and wisdom today on this new season of life called, formerly called retirement. Our podcasts are going to dig into the financial technical pieces at times, and other times we're going to dive into quality of life, which is what today is about. I want to make sure that you are not taking anything you hear on these podcasts literally and personally until you walk alongside the personal advisors that are really going to understand your situation, get to know you, and help guide you in making decisions with the financial tools that you have built up over your time and with the energy that you want to invest in what lies down the road. So with that in mind, I am really excited about our conversation with Carolyn today. Carolyn, as you created the Decade Game. Can you share a bit how it came to be and how it has enriched your own life over the years?
I will. And actually, before I do that, Danielle, I realize that there's an important part of my bio that wasn't mentioned, and that is that I'm a recovering banker. So I did spend 20 years as an international banker and a Wall Street investment banker. So I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there that when it comes to money and finance, absolutely talk to your financial advisor. So with that as a disclaimer, I also do want to mention, because it's an important part of the Decade Game, that I am a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a grandmother, and those are really critical parts of what I consider my greatest accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And shout out to my kids and my grandkids. The Decade Game came to me when I was 8 years old. It was 1960. We were in the middle of the Cold War. I grew up in a very liberal, social justice-oriented family where around the dinner table every night, we were talking about justice and civil rights and war and peace and women's rights and all those types of things. My mother actually was one of only two women in her law school class in the University of Chicago in the 40s. Mm. So when I was eight, as I think about us entering into a presidential election year, it was when John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon were running for president. And that was the first time presidential debates were televised. And I woke up to my job as a global citizen at eight. I remember sitting on the lawn of my best friend's house, Louise Feld, with my other eight-year-old friends, debating who we thought would be better for president. John F. Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And that called to me that I had a responsibility to play big.
You were very mature for an eight-year-old.
I think
I was still kind of playing with maybe matchbox cars and listening to good.
I was out there. I was out there. And I give a lot of that credit to my mother, who was out there, mm-hmm. Always working on behalf of others in every Johnson Great Society program, the War on Poverty, the Crusade for Opportunity. And, I think that everyone recognizes at some point in life, some earlier than others, that they're here for a reason. And they ask the question, why am I here? And that, there's been so much written about the importance of purpose, but it's important. And what's important is to actually name it. Mm-hmm. And I named mine at eight, that I needed to play big because the world needed everyone to do whatever they could to make a world that works. And so that was the beginning of the Decade Game. And in essence, it was a constant inquiry about, wow, wouldn't it be cool if, if you take the wonderment of a child, even when you were playing with Matchbox, who did you want to be? Was it an astronaut? Was it a fireman? Was it a ballerina? But we all have these imaginings. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could, pick your favorite superhero? And the Decade Game is about being in that superhero mode of, wouldn't it be amazing if I could? And then realize that you can, in your own way, be all that you can be. And that at any point in time, you have everything you need to make one more step in something that would help you discover more meaning or create meaning for others that in some way is attached to why you're here on the planet. So for me, it has been a frame that has allowed me to reinvent myself every 10 years with the goal in mind about what would I love to learn over the next 10 years? What would I love to experience? What do I not know that I want to know? Who do I want to learn from? Who should learn from me? And, that has led me to my first job at 21 as a foreign service officer in the Soviet Union, diplomat in the Soviet Union, and then to banking, and then to Wall Street, and then to management consulting, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, to me, it speaks to the intentionality of life and not letting life happen to you, but in some regard, looking at what the opportunities are and how you want to, yeah, show up. What is life asking of you? And I loved in your introduction that you have that you matriculated from the business world. And could you speak to that a little bit in the mindset that everybody has this idea, I just want to get to the point of retirement. And neither you or I believe in retirement. I call it rewirement. But can you share, you know, how you came up with how you matriculated from the global agency of Ernst & Young?
Yes. So first of all, matriculation means to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I graduated into the next chapter of my life. And I didn't retire from anything. And in some respects, if you can identify that you have some superpowers that are uniquely yours, where you can make a unique contribution to the people you love, to your community, to your organization, to society at large, big or small, every contribution is beautiful. And if you can understand that you bring those contributions with you, no matter what venue or phase of life that you're in, if you know that, then what I say is you're never out of a job. You might be right. Temporarily out of a product, but you're not out of a job. You got hired from the moment you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to stay hired until you happen to leave this particular time, this what I call the miracle between the two mysteries of birth and death. So I did graduate to my next chapter. And a part of the decade game is to know that your job isn't what actually someone is writing you a check for.
Right.
You know, your job is, what have I yet to learn? What have I yet to experience? What are the relationships that are beckoning to be deepened? What are the new relationships I'd like to form? What are different ways for me to think about how to contribute what it is that I have and know in a way that's of service to others? That's the job.
And it's
you never
powerful.
Retire from that.
Exactly. It's really powerful. And I think we have a current narrative around aging and the traditional ideas. And I believe it's been fed to us by the financial services world and the media, that this idea of retirement is that line in the sand that you're supposed to cross over, and then it's all supposed to be about you. Can you speak a little bit to, you know, what issues do you see or what challenges do you see around this current narrative that might be holding people back from really fulfilling their potential?
Yes. So there are a couple of narratives that keep us contained and confined and compressed relative to what we're really about. One is that I touched on it before, we over-identify with whoever wrote us a check, that somehow that became the job and that that's in fact our identity. You know, that we are the job title that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that when that job title goes away, we have no identity. And that's really frightening. It puts people back to, you know, if you remember what it was like when you first started college and you thought, oh my God, I don't know what my major is. And without a major, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that over-identification to the person who wrote, the organization that wrote you a check. But again, that's not who you are. You are something so much greater than that. You are a leader, no matter who, and a learner at home, at work, and in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different ways to create value for others that include continuing to hone your craft. So that's one issue that holds us down. Another issue is just being afraid, that I don't know how to do something new, and afraid of failing. I mean, think about it. By the time you get to that magic matriculation point, you are really good at what you're doing. And the idea that, well, what if can I really go back to a beginner's mindset and feel that I'm not a beginner, I'm actually a master beginning a new chapter in my life, and that I can bring all the wisdom, everything I learned, into this next chapter, and that it might have many different ways of showing up. But I think it's that unknown that is so scary for people, and they don't necessarily have a guide. So what happens is people can all of a sudden feel isolated because they're not surrounded by the communities that they were before. And they don't necessarily have the roadmap for how to build new communities, new interests, because they've been over-indexed around the job, as opposed to recognizing that even in the decade before matriculation, their job needed to include, what's my spiritual journey? What's my self-care work? What's my work in terms of really deepening the relationships with the people I love? What's my work in the community? That's all the job too. And if you've over-indexed on who's writing you a check, then you feel unprepared for some of these really wonderful new avenues of discovery.
I think our identity with our work, or for many women who have been at home with family, you know, their identity as a mother, or as a, you know, employee, or, you know, and how do we start looking at what is next and not let the outside world tell us, you know, so looking at the financial world, who has told us, oh, it's all about getting to your number, or, you know, you came from the banking world, you saw a lot of it, I am still immersed in it, and looking at doing it differently with people. But that idea that your net worth defines your self-worth is such a broken concept and a broken construct of really appreciating what, you know, opportunities that you have moving forward.
Right. So one of the ways that I try to explain it to people is they are the chief investment officer of all of their assets and attributes, all of which are their wealth. So not just their financial resources, but their time, their heart, their relationships, their wisdom, all of that are amazing assets.
Yes. Character assets. Are you resourceful? Are you creative? Are you resilient?
Absolutely. So those are, and you're the chief investment officer of that incredible portfolio of assets. And you get a chance to, in this new phase of your life, decide how do you want to invest them in what I call tiny mighties, meaning don't try to totally recreate yourself on day two, but recognize that every day, every week, I can look at this portfolio of my assets and make one tiny move to invest them, whether it's my time, my love, my commitment, my energy, my wisdom, into an area that could bear fruit over time. So for example, it turns out that there's 87,600 hours in 10 years. So, the banker in me is coming out. I actually, to get to sleep, I do math problems in my head. So there's 87,600 hours in 10 years. So let's assume, and I'm going to encourage you to sleep 8 hours a night. I do. That leaves over 50,000 hours and change. It turns out that all the research has pointed to the fact that it only takes 10,000 hours to become a world expert in something. So when I play the decade game, I know I have 50,000 hours to invest, as well as I can invest it with my heart, with my wisdom, with everything I've learned, with all of the meaning that has come from both my triumphs and my trials, which really also become treasures to invest. And I have five different areas in my life that I can invest 10,000 hours each over the next 10 years in order to be a master in my own transformation. You know, what is the 10,000 hours I want to invest in myself, my spiritual journey, my self-care? What's the 10,000 hours I want to invest in my relationships with the people I care about? What is it that I have honed for many years in terms of craft, whether it's banking or analysis or carpentry or business processes? How do I want to hone that? Who needs that investment of wisdom? What do I want to invest in learnings, things I know nothing about that now I have the time to do? And what's the 10,000 hours I want to invest in my contributions philanthropically to the world, where I can invest what I call my four W's, my wealth, my wisdom, my worldly connections, and my work? That's my investment decisions. And I am so much more than my net worth.
Yes. And I really, truly believe that by you putting this framework around and helping us to understand that how to play the decade game and the elements of it and the playing pieces, that it is so much more than what the traditional financial services industry has talked about as, well, we'll just set your goals and figure out how to quantifiably get to them. You know, I talk to people about life balance and what areas of life do they need to inflate their wheel on? And what are the financial decisions and what are the financial tools that do they need to utilize and maximize to inflate those wheels? So very similar on the line of what, you know, you're encouraging folks with the decade game. But what I really loved about participating in it was that it was that perspective of play and that idea of, so many times when we set a goal, it seems more like something that we should do or have to do or need to do. And can you talk a little bit about that differentiation between, you know, taking a stand and playing the game versus maybe what a lot of people traditionally think in this season of life is, oh, I just need to get to my financial goals?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. It's such a good one. First of all, the game of life is serious business. And the decade game has a motto, a promise about designing the best decade of your life so far, where you are both the designer and the player. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the greater complexity and difficulty of a problem, the more fun you have to have if you're going to solve it. You know, play is a whole different energy. Mm-hmm. The place of obligation really triggers a different part of the brain. It's, you know, in the amygdala, you know, the fight, flight, and fear place. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of people live, around money, around death, around the unknown. And it also conjures up, I should have, I would have, if only, I have to, I need to. And so even when I say those words, you can...
Oh, it's awful.
You feel it in your body.
Yes.
Well, play is a whole different place in your brain. It's creative. It's innovative. It's all about possibilities. And to think about games that you've played, the more challenging, the more fun. The more challenging, the more often you, quote, lose. Mm-hmm. But you don't feel like a failure. Like, wow, I learned something. Mm-hmm. I want to go back in and play it a little bit differently, a little bit better. I now have a new angle on this that I want to test out. And, you know, we also say you are the designer. If you are unhappy, if you are scared, if you are fearful, if you feel, oh my God, I don't know what to do, chances are you're playing by someone else's game. You're playing by someone else's rules and you're playing someone else's game. You know, it's really important that you have a financial advisor who's playing your game, your rules, what's important to you, your objective of what success is, and not someone else's objective of what success is. You get to pick the game. You know, and with a designer's mindset, you know, what do designers do? They put ideas into play. They play with those ideas. They test them. What if I did this? What if I did this? Oh, I did this. This is what I learned. Now my next move could be different. And eventually you put hope and desires into action based on what works best for you. So there's all sorts of reasons, energetically, strategically, why play and playing your game makes life fun, even when it's hard.
And it will be hard. Life is challenging. And I always like a challenging game. You know, it keeps you on your toes. You strategize, you look at different ways of doing it, you learn, you come back, do it a little bit differently next time. And I really appreciated the perspective on life that was brought to my mindset with the decade game that was, you know, definitely a shift from where I had been before. I know you are, you've been doing a couple of these with groups of women, and I know you kind of have it on your bandwidth to start looking at doing it for couples. Can you tell us what you're looking forward to in 2020 and then maybe lead it into how people can get a hold of you and find out more about what you've got going on with this?
Yes, thank you. So, you know, not only have I been playing the deck game all my life, but everyone who I love is playing the game. My children, my husband, my mother. And since I matriculated 7 years ago at Ernst & Young, I've been playing it with others more intentionally and focusing in particular on women only because I know that the game for women has been rigged for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And we tend to play the Goldilocks game, to this and to that, but never right. But coming up, my husband and I want to play the game with men. We actually do the game with men, and we do the game with mixed groups, but we want to specifically also focus on men and also on couples, because my husband and I actually have we've been playing the game together for a while. And, you've probably heard the idea, his stuff, her stuff versus our stuff. Mm. But in a relationship, and whether, you know, you have a partner of your same sex or a partner of a different sex, the relationship is actually something different. It's what I call the sacred third. And you each have to do your own work in your own game. But when you come together, there's a new game that needs to be played and understood that is influenced by each people's game. But to know what your work is versus what's our work is important. So we will continue to do workshops for women. In fact, we have another one scheduled in April in New York and in October in San Francisco. And we'll be putting dates on the calendar for probably our first men's group and our first couples group. So stay tuned for that. The way you can find us is come to Facebook, the Decade Game page, and there we'll be posting information on our events, as well as daily and weekly postings in terms of helping you play the game. And starting in February, we'll be launching the Decade Game podcast. So looking forward to having a chance to be in continued conversation with your devoted listeners, Danielle.
I look forward to hearing more of what you have out there. I have been so honored and blessed to have you cross my path in life, and I know that we are going to be playing that out in a variety of ways. I wish you all of the best in the upcoming season of life with the teams and the family members and the folks that you have put together to really, create your game board and to be continuously playing what has brought you just absolute delight in life.
Well, thank you, Danielle. I just really appreciate the invitation to be on your podcast. And it's been so much fun playing with you. You know, the Decade Game is a multiplayer game.
Yes.
So it's been fun to play together. And I'm looking forward to finding other ways for us to play together. And thank again all your listeners for tuning into this podcast and learning a little bit about designing the best decade of your life so far.
Well, I ask my listeners that if you have more, questions about what's going on with the Decade Game, to reach out to the Facebook page for the Decade Game. If you would like to learn how to put your financial pieces in order to support you in playing what you are bringing to the world in a variety of ways, you can reach out to us at www.wealthbydesign4letteru.com. If you want to get to know me and more blogs, more podcasts, see how we can work with groups and organizations, with educational opportunity and learning events, check out DanielleHoward4u.com. Appreciate our time together, Carolyn, and wish you all the best.
Thanks so much. Happy holidays.
Ladies, this was fantastic. I just sat here and loved it. I loved the conversation. I am definitely going to be looking into the decade game. That intrigues me more than you would know. And Carolyn, I especially want to thank you because I thought I was the only one that did math problems to go to sleep. I've done that for a very long time. If my mind is racing as business owners, that tends to happen to all of us. It's easy to begin doing mathematics, counting sheep in a completely different way.
Exactly.
And I thought that was fantastic. It really, really made my day when you said that. So thank you so much for being here. Danielle, thank you so much for bringing her on. What a fantastic guest you brought on.
As always, Eric, my pleasure for a good conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And to our listeners, thank you so much again for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast with Danielle Howard. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Danielle comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And I say this a lot, but this is a great podcast to share. You can start playing a game, the decade game, with your friends and family and see what happens. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Wealth Done Differently Retirement, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, Certified Financial Planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC are not affiliated.